This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
95.7 The Game, live and local. Now, it's Rick Tittle on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thank you so much, and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle with you. I'll be here for the next 3 hours, rolling solo. Would love to have you with us. I'm so lonely, so come on in and get in the queue. We'll talk to you. It's all about y'alls and your calls. 888-957-9570. Once again, 888-957-9570. You can always hit me up on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line at 95795. And you know me, any which way you'd like to go. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, quidditch, rollerball, chess, checkers, rugby, cricket, that kind of stuff. I don't care about your ethnic heritage or your religion or how you voted. I care about what you think about, well, what's going on with your NBA team, your NHL team, your MLB team. See, we realize that the conference championship games are on right now. If you want to go check them out, go to the Pick 6 Sports Lounge and go have a shot with Chris Townsend and Matt Steinmetz. But we also know that if you're listening to those games, you're not listening here because we don't have the game. So we're going to talk about other things that are going on in the world of sports coming up in about 15 minutes. Sharks broadcaster, former NHL winner, and that would be a Stanley Cup winner. Brett Hedekin will join us at 12:15. Bring in our friend, the Chronicles beat writer for the A's for many years, going back to the 90s. Susan Slusser, former president of the Baseball Writers Association of America. She'll join us at 1:30. Remember, we have Fan Fest next Sunday, and it'll be at Jack London Square. And we're going to be doing a four-hour live broadcast from there, and it's going to be Chris and Zachariah and I. So it'll be me and Townie and Zachariah. And then we're going to talk a little more basketball at 2:30 with Aaron Brewski, an NBA writer and co-host of the Coz and Brew show. So Brett Hedekin in about 15 minutes, and your calls until then, 888-957-9570. Just to piggyback a little bit on the Warriors with the victory today. It's funny because, you know, you get up very early out here, crack dawn, have a McGriddle tittle, and the Warriors are sleepwalking through the first half. It's just basically turnovers and watching the local kid Aaron Gordon slam and hang on the rim. And then in the end, it's a... yet again, a blowout victory. And I understand that 9 o'clock body time, and it, you know, understandably, it took the Warriors a little time to get going. But for me, I've always, always been a person who's had zero sympathy when it's come to professional athletes and their travel schedules. I understand that it is a factor. I understand that. But we don't want to hear it as fans. I know I don't want to hear it. My body clock. I don't care about your body clock. We all have body clocks. We all have jobs. And the way they travel, yes, air travel is a pain. We know that you get dehydrated, you get nauseous. It's a pain. You're sitting up there at 39,000 feet in turbulence. Nobody likes it. But then again, they're in these dentist chairs having grapes fed to them. They don't even go through the terminal. They get run on a bus and they go to the Four Seasons. So it's not the kind of travel. I mean, once you're up in the air, yeah, but it's not like you and me when the guy in front of you leans back and the tray table goes into your neck. It's not that kind of thing. So whenever I hear, boom, you know, the A's got in at 4:30 in the morning, oh, poor babies. I just, I'll never do that. As I said, zero sympathy for the schedules of pro athletes. Oh, our wings had to get de-iced. Yeah, so did everybody at that airport, by the way. So did everybody. But the good news for me about the Warriors is the fact that, yeah, they have a remarkable record right now at 38-6. A couple of all-star starters, as we know, and Steph and KD. And still, it's funny, for months I took calls from people saying that the Warriors had to keep Barnes. I love Barnes as a guy. He's the kind of person you want your daughter to marry? There's two guys that were in Bay Area sports. I think Derek Carr and Harrison Barnes are two guys that you'd want your daughter to marry. Just outstanding young men. Outstanding. But Harrison Barnes kept getting worse. And what? I mean, was it $64 million he said no to? Man, did the Warriors dodge a bullet when Harrison Barnes said no. And for him, he made a lot more money, and he gets to play a lot more. And maybe if he didn't have the ring, he might think, why did I leave the Dubs? I don't think he might think of that now and then. I hope Harrison Barnes is happy. He's got his ring, he's got his cash, and he plays a lot more than he would if he was on the Warriors, obviously. But I think the Warriors are just really starting to scratch the surface of what they can do. And the reason I say that is because if you look at some of these teams where you brought in a star, and I'm thinking about, remember the Miami Heat? Not one, not two, not three. Getting Bosch and Wade, does Bosch count? Getting Bosch, Wade, and LeBron together. They started off 9-8. And people were saying, you know what? They might not even make the playoffs. I was like, yeah, they would. And then when LeBron went back to Cleveland, they started off, after 49 games, when he went back, they were 19-20. Remember that? The first game that Kyrie and LeBron played together, Kyrie went for 38 with zero assists. They had to figure out a way to not just learn how to share the ball, but to believe in one another. And I know that sounds kind of grandiose, but trust each other and just maybe want the other guy to succeed. And I don't notice anything from the Warriors where someone's like, I don't want that guy still in my limelight. If they did that, they never would have flown to Long Island and, you know, with Iguodala and Clay and Draymond and Steph and going over to KD's estate and say, come on, you got to come over. If they were really worried about sharing the limelight, no, they just want to win. And to tell you the truth, every once in a while, I still kind of take a step back and pinch myself that Kevin Durant is on the Warriors, because I think I've kind of gotten used to it by now. But then again, I'm not used to it. I'm watching highlights. Kevin Durant is on the Warriors. You're like, yeah, Rick, we know. I know we know. But it's like, you know, at least once during every Raiders season, I'd walk the field before the game thinking, I can't believe they moved back. I can't believe it. They moved when I was a senior in high school, and for the next 13 years in which I stayed loyal to that team, every year was a new rumor. They're moving, but ESPN is reporting. No, they're not. Just leveraging Irwindale or Santa Anita or Al wants the 8 lanes of track ripped out of the LA Coliseum, which they did. He wants some boxes, which he got. But after all that, I'm like, wow, they really did move back. Now, of course, and we'll get into it a little bit later, the relocation papers have been, they've been filed. Relocation papers sounds like some Gestapo thing. Do you have your relocation papers? Haben Sie ein Relocation-Papieren? Yeah, but the relocation papers have been filed, and then we'll see if the owners vote on it in March or not. We know that the NFL is doing everything they can to steamroll this yes vote. I mean, this guy Grubman, you say fortress to him, and he throws up. Mark went out and did a smart thing and got Goldman Sachs to tell the NFL, look, if this thing with the guy that owns the Sands, Adelson, if it doesn't work out or you don't like him, you don't want a casino guy in there with a crooked nose. I got these other guys. I got your money. I got your money right here. That's where you got it. Now on, what was it, Tuesday? Yeah, day after MLK Day, the Warriors broke ground down here south of AT&T Park. On the Chase Center. Now, we are the home of the Warriors, and we're proud home of the Warriors. And it's going to be a beautiful arena. But I'm not going to lie, I didn't go. Just because I'm an Oakland guy, and I feel sad. I know it's happening, and I know it's much better than them going to L.A. or San Jose or any of that. It'll be the first time in my whole life that I'll be rooting for a team that's based in San Francisco. I'll always be a Warrior fan. I will. But it was a little bit of a kick in the pants for me, I have to say. Now, I had Rick Welts, who's the president of the Warriors and COO, who's actually not just a smart guy, but from my dealings with him, a great guy. He sat down with me Radio Row at the Moscone Center before last year's Super Bowl, and I threw a lot of hard questions at him. Why are you leaving the most centrally located, refurbished and perfect arena for an NBA crowd. And he just talked about moving to San Francisco is going to, you know, help the team grow and all the things they can get from that arena and owning it themselves. And there's no public money. And they're doing it all the right way. So then I said, what about, you know, parking at Pier 80? You know, what about getting way over there? There's no BART stop. And he said, well, Muni will have their connection going, you know, from Fisherman's Wharf through Chinatown all the way down to the Chase Center done by the time the stadium opened. And I said, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, public transportation, Muni will drop you there. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I used to take the Embarcadero freeway to work. I've been working in San Francisco since the 80s, but that freeway came down after the earthquake. It was deemed unsafe. It was basically the exact same thing as the Cypress structure in Oakland, which did tragically collapse. And when they took that down, a lot of the merchants in Chinatown said, what are we going to do? No one's going to come to Chinatown anymore. That's what they thought, because there was no more freeway right to Chinatown. And that was like three blocks short. It got you off at like Sansom and Broadway, but close enough to Grant Street. And I remember the city said, well, we'll do you up. We'll put in this this extension of Muni underground. Well, that was in 89. It's been a while. So better late than never. But I'm just thinking about the Warriors, as I said, you know, when I think about how it took Cleveland a while to get together, the Warriors, while they were trying to get their stuff together, there was one constant the whole time, and that was KD was playing great. So it can only get better. All right. Very happy now to be joined by our friend Brett Hedekin. And we had Brett in here right before the season began with Dan Ruzanowski, his broadcast partner for the San Jose Sharks. Of course, Brett played a long time in the National Hockey League. He's lifted Lord Stanley's Cup. And Brett, last night, you know, looking at Wardo and Melker and then Schlemko with the winner, I was happy for all three of those guys, especially since the Sharks are so desperate for offense. And then I think of Schlemko, who some people have said have been a bit of a bust. He's had some ailments. He's had some scratches. So I'm glad that those three guys were on the score sheet last night. What do you think?
Oh, no, I'm totally in agreement. I don't think Schlemko has been a bust at all. Yeah, he's had a couple of games where he was out, and then he was injured a little bit. But if you look at, you know, your five and six defensemen and Brendan Dillon and Schlemko, they are doing their job. They're really doing a nice job back there. And you're right, for Schlemko to cash in on that overtime winner, it was nice to see. And again, a guy like Melker, Carlson, Chris Tierney, Ryan Carpenter's been called up. And you're right, Joel Ward has started to kind of pick up the offense now, which is a good sign when you can get kind of secondary players starting to add in on the offense. But no doubt, a good win in overtime against a team that's having a tough year. No doubt, Colorado, last team in the NHL. They found a way to win last night, which is a good sign.
Yeah, now what about Mikko Bodker, the Dane? Because, you know, he came in, got a lot of money to provide offense. They take that trip to Alberta. He has a hat trick. And then the next night, a penalty shot, he doesn't get it, and then a miraculous breakaway when Vlasic finds him, and he wasn't able to score then either. What do you think about number 89 right now?
Well, you know, let me just preface this. We're on the tarmac right now. If I have to get off the phone, it's because we're actually in the air,
okay,
in the plane. But getting back to Mikhail Bodker, no doubt, I think he's I think the coaching staff has done a great job with allowing him to kind of try to find his game, and they've been patient with him, and I think, you know, Peter DeBoer, the head coach of San Jose, had him in junior, and there's a relationship there. And I think that's only helped Bodker kind of find his game. Now, he has come on lately, and I think they've given him more time and patience than maybe I would have given him. But nonetheless, the kid can skate. He's learning how to be a better pro here playing for San Jose. The expectations are much higher playing for the Sharks from any other place that he's ever played. So there's no doubt about it. Mikhail is learning to be a better pro playing here in San Jose, and he's coming. His game is coming.
You know what?
And we are now taking off.
All right. Well, I don't want you guys doing anything unsafe. Thanks for the call, Brett. All right. Appreciate it. Genius booking. Two questions for Brett Hedekin. That's fantastic booking. We'll stick with the Sharks, by the way, for the rest of the segment, since I got two questions in. 888-957 for those of you in TL. As I said, the football games are on. We know that. We'll talk about some other stuff here called counter-programming. I remember when I worked for a sports channel in 1990 in this town. It was during the World Cup in Italy, Italia 90. And during the World Cup, I worked in master control as a technical director. And my boss was like, yeah, show some English soccer reruns from last year. Mike, what? Yeah, show Sheffield Wednesday and Wimbledon at Plow Lane from 99. I go, during the World Cup? He goes, yeah, soccer's hot. We got to get with it. I'm like, do you really think if you're a soccer fan, you're going to choose a rerun of an English league game over live World Cup action?
No, it's hot.
I'm like, play bowling, play something else. All right. 888-957-9570. There were a lot of people who at the beginning of the year did not like the fact that the Sharks were going to go with a rookie as a backup in Aaron Dell. And I didn't know much about Aaron Dell except for what I read about him. You know, he was a rook. He was a little bit older, but he was a rook. I'm fine with him right now. I like Aaron Dell. Now, if Martin Jones got hurt, then that's something else. If Martin Jones got hurt, then you'd say, well, is he going to be the number one guy? I don't know. I mean, they got Troy Groznick down with the CUDA. They have Zoolander down there, Amelis Montas. By the way, an Armani model, ladies, or guys that like Armani models. They've got some pretty good goalies down with the Barracuda right now. But I'm fine with Aaron Dell. There was a point about a couple weeks ago where it looked like Martin Jones was getting a little tired, and he was letting in a couple of soft goals. But you have to keep in mind that every goalie is going to let in a soft goal now and then. It's just going to happen. And I think we're so used to, as Sharks fans, we're so used to MJ being so good that when, you know, somebody goes five hole or, you know, somebody from way out on the point wrists one in over his shoulder, we're like, what are you looking at, Jones? And it's like, no. Martin Jones is the man. And I'm okay with Dell. Now, I talked about Mikhail Bodker being brought in for a lot of money to provide more offense. Well, usually a team that's in first place and is a conference champion like the Sharks are, usually you don't turn to your own farm system for that. And they have a couple of times. And you look at Kevin LeBanc from one of my favorite hometowns. He's an American, by the way. He's from New Dorp Beach on Staten Island. And then Timo Meier, who was a first-round pick. And both those guys are not going back down. You can have the, you know, as Brett mentioned, Carpenter, the Tim Heads, even Mirko Müller, who was probably as high a touted draft pick the Sharks have had since Logan Couture. It's just taken him a little bit longer he's got the size, but as a blue liner, he's just a lot of responsibilities that he has to have. So, but for youngster-wise, I think they're going to be all right. LeBanc and Meyer have showing that they can step up, and they're not going back down. The Barkley Goodrows of the year will be guys going back up and down. I do worry about the fact that DeMello broke his wrist. I would like to see him go out and get another experienced guy for the blue line. You might remember a few years ago, they swapped with Dallas, Jason Demers straight up for a Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon is one of the only guys outside of Haley that the Sharks can have that can actually fight. but Dillon, to me, hasn't been outstanding. Justin Braun has had some bad games as well. But remember, I'm looking at it with a fine-tooth comb. Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Brian in Livermore. What's up, Brian?
I want to talk some Sharks. Your comments about Schlemko, I really like him. I think he's very good. If we're going to go out and get another D-man, why not Boschman from Colorado? They're going to want to dump some players there. And as far as offense goes, I'm not a Bodker fan. He hasn't done much for us. I don't know if he will. I know they've given him a lot of rope. I'm not so sure that they need to even give him any more. Bring up the younger guys. That's my comments there.
All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Boschman, there's no doubt he's a vet. I mean, he's about the same age as Patty and Patty Ice and Big Joe Jumbo. He's about 36, 37. I've always thought this, by the way. Like, if you meet a girl at a dance, you're like, what's your name? And it's like, my name is Bob Smith. Oh. And that guy say, my name is Francois Boschman. Yeah. How does that not work just a little bit extra with the ladies? My name is Francois Boschman. And then, not just that, he's a big hockey player and he can beat you up too. I would be all for that. I would all love to add a guy like Boschman got on the score sheet last night for the Lanch too. Remember, and as Brett was saying, the Lanch are awful right now. And they jumped all over Nieto when the Sharks cut him. No offense to Nieto, who I really rooted for, being a fellow Californian, to make it on the Sharks, but Nieto was just he was just too awful, to tell you the truth. Yeah, he had speed, but that's about all he had. He just was not scoring goals. The turnovers, he didn't even really forecheck very well. He just was really fast. And I wish him the best, unless he's playing the Sharks. And Nieto wasn't terrible last night, if you watch the game. But, yeah, that would be a guy. And I don't want the Sharks to give up too much. Remember, the thing you have to keep in mind, there's going to be an expansion draft, too. And one of the things is you start to mark off how many guys you can keep. The Sharks, from what I've read, have kind of figured that maybe Justin Braun's going to be a guy who they're going to have to expose and who is going to be taken by the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And so I've seen that maybe they're shopping him, but they're afraid if they shop him, then they're going to have to expose somebody else. And they don't want to do that. I think they kind of figure that that's the guy. Because once you have one of your guys taken, then boom, then you're not going to, your expansion draft is over. You can't be raided again. And the other thing about the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I know it's not their fault, but them moving into Vegas has only helped with the Raiders' move. Well, we already got one pro team in there. And do you know that the Las Vegas Knights, from what I've heard from their people, they're not real happy about the Raiders trying to come in there, because they kind of thought that they'd have that whole town to themselves for sports fans. But they don't need to worry. Hockey fans and football fans, they'll be enough one way or the other. And Las Vegas, I mean, this San Francisco's the Bay Area is a transient place as it is. Me being third generation is almost an anomaly. Most people are from someplace else, or at least their parents are. But you'll have, you know, it's just like if the Raiders play there, you know, how most of the fans will be wearing the jerseys of just other teams. It'll be weird like that. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come on back on the other side. Your calls, 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. Rick Tittle with you on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Rick Tittle Show on 95.7 The Game.
So funky on a Sunday. How you doing? Nice to have you with us. I'm Rick Tittle. Take you up until 4 o'clock. Then I'll hand it over to the biblical pairing of the Zechariah and Guru. They'll help you with Deuteronomy and Numbers if you're having problems with Scripture. 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. Keeping the holding the fort down here during the championship games, and then we'll see who will be going to the Superb Owl, superbowl.com.
I looked to see if there were some barn owls, and there's all this football stuff at this website.
888-957-9570. Susan Slusser at 1:30. Talk about the Green and Gold Member Fan Fest next Sunday at Jack London Square. Hopefully it won't be raining. And Aaron Bruschi, NBA writer and part of the Coz and Brew show. That'll be at 2:30. Let's go to the text line. And 95795. Rick, the relocation papers that Mark Davis has filed, what happens next? Well, what happens next is that the owners have to get together and vote. Now, remember, you're going to have to need 3/4 to say yes. And they could not vote. They could actually get together and vote just to see what the relocation fee could be. There's nothing set in stone exactly what's going to happen in March at the owners' meetings, but it'll probably be addressed. And that's why I said in this 1 week, if you're an Oakland guy like me, I think bittersweet would be an understatement. You know, I love the Warriors. I always will. And I'll go to the new stadium, and I'm excited that San Francisco is getting a new stadium. I hate to see the Warriors leave Oakland. Oakland needs the Warriors a lot more than San Francisco needs a pro team like a hole in the head. San Francisco is fine. They don't. Oakland needs that team more, to tell you the truth. And so whatever. There's no use crying about it. It's happening. The spade went in the ground, and they're going there. And I know some people are like, oh, I won't be a fan anymore. Well, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. I've never had any hate for San Francisco. I think that's a younger generation thing in the days of social media. When I was growing up, I was an Oakland guy, and I had some fans. I had some cousins and friends who were, you know, Niners and Giants, and you would tease each other. But it wasn't like you know, how you thought about, you know, like the Raider fans think about Denver. You know, that's just, that's his pure, pure, unadulterated, white hot intensity of a thousand suns hate, abject furor and rage. And somehow, some way, I think what's best, because when I was growing up, if you wanted to say your mama to someone, you had to do it to their face, or at least you had to call them on the phone.
Yeah, is Tommy there?
Senior or junior?
Junior.
This is Tommy. Your mama. Now you can, and there are no cowards on social media. You could be Big Baller 408, and your picture is Homer Simpson giving the finger, and then you can say all you want. There are no cowards on social media anywhere. And so for me, especially as I've worked in San Francisco in sports broadcasting since 89, you know, I understand that you want to be loyal to your town. I don't have that inferiority complex that some people do. San Francisco looks their nose down on us. Well, what if they do? Who cares? What do you care about? Get some self-esteem. Get rid of your insecurities. It's like when the A's are going to the playoffs, people would call me on the A's post-game show, Rick, the national media is not giving us respect. Who cares? Why do you care what people in New York and Boston say about you? It's like the Hall of Fame for me with Bill King. He's finally going in. Ford C. Frick winner, posthumously. Ken Stabler's finally went in, posthumously, which sucks. I don't need a guy, a fat guy, chomping on a cigar in one, and then holding on to two bratwursts in Boston telling me that Bill King was good. I don't need some schmuck in Manhattan telling me that Ken Stabler is worthy. I know how good he was. So I know how great Oakland is. I don't think, oh, people in San Francisco look down. Shut up. I don't want, just get some self-esteem, all right? Sticks and stones, for Pete's sake. So I don't have that hate. And plus, growing up, when I did, the San Francisco teams were mostly pathetic. And so I felt sorry for a lot of my friends. I really did. And there was a song on the radio here, Super Bowl 15. Of course, the Raiders won. I was at that game. Thanks, Dad. Super Bowl is always my age. I was 15 at Super Bowl 15. And that's why we have Super Bowl 75 this year. And then when the Niners went Super Bowl 16, they had this song. It's like, you can win the Super Bowl, keep the trophy in the Bay. The whole Bay Area was united in rooting for the Niners. If you think I'm wrong, you're wrong. Because it was. The Bay Area was united in hoping the Niners would beat the Bengals. Now, could you imagine? Can you imagine if the Niners? It's just like when the Niners played the Ravens. There were people dancing in the streets. There was the biggest cheer at any Raider game, and I know because I've been to every one since they've moved back, except one. I was in England at a soccer match. But the biggest cheer of the entire game is usually hearing that the Niners lost.
Partial scores earlier today, Atlanta 34, San Francisco 10.
Who cares? It's the same thing with the A's and the Giants. I don't get it. Yeah, you can. I'm just glad that I don't have that kind of hate. Could you imagine living in a town where you literally despised some of the teams? I mean, literally despised. I'm not a fan of the Giants. I respect the hell out of the Giants, though, because they put winning first, and they know you got to spend money to be successful and make money. They draft well, and then they lock up guys. And they trade for a star like Pence. He becomes a free agent, and then they lock him up. If Madison Bumgarner and Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey and Joe Panik were on the A's, they would have been traded a long, long, long time ago.
We can't afford it.
Someday, you know when you trade a guy, when the A's did? You trade a guy like they did with Reddick and Hill. Reddick had to go. I'm sorry, Josh Reddick fans, because he was not going to be on the A's next year, and the A's weren't going to the playoffs. You cash in on that guy. You don't cash in on a guy before his arb years even begin, like Donaldson and Gio, just because someday they might be too expensive for us. In fact, someday I know they'll be too expensive for us. Well, that's just a defeatist attitude. All right, 888-957-9570. Mike in Oakland, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how's it going there, man? I got to ask, Rick. With the Raiders moving or potentially moving, what kind of effect can this really do on the future of the just the NFL presence in the Bay Area? You know, are people going to really go to become Niners? Are they? I'm really curious about this because
Me, myself, I was born in San Diego. I've lived in Oakland the majority of my life, but I will always hold and be a Chargers fan. And with their move right now, I'm sort of optimistic to it because the last time I was down there, it really hurt me. I was there, week five against the Saints, and, I mean, it was black and gold everywhere. You know, it hurt my soul that I came all the way from Oakland to support San Diego, and not even San Diego could support them. But I really just want to know what your reflection is or what your curiosity is on how the culture is going to take it when or if they do move.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. And lines are open at 888-957-9570. PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. I think there's going to be a lot of apathy like Los Angeles received. You know, Los Angeles went 20 years without a team. And they, not saying they didn't watch, but they were kind of like, eh. Now, Santa Clara is in the Bay Area, but barely. Sorry, I know it's not Morgan Hill or something. That's like barely Greater Bay Area. But where everything goes down outside of Silicon Valley, and you talk about Alameda and Contra Costa County, San Francisco County, Napa County, Solano County, they're not going to have a team. Unless you want to drive down. I don't see tons of new Niner fans. I think we'll see a few, but it won't be like last time. Last time when the Raiders moved, there were two families on my street where I grew up in the East Bay that had Raiders season tickets that switched to Niner season tickets. Because at that point, the Niners were just starting to get good. And I understand why. I totally do. They felt stabbed in the back, and they wanted to support a team that was there in their town. And they wanted to go tailgate. And they wanted to see their team. I understand that. But I can't switch willy-nilly like that. My team gets into my DNA. I can't. And I didn't see it. A lot of people like to sort of, they always, for some reason, when a team scorns you or an owner scorns you, they try to make it like relationships. What if your girlfriend left you for a better dude? And I'm like, no, I don't think of it that way. I feel like my brother is being held hostage in Los Angeles. Right? Or someone drives up and sees your dog on your lawn, a guy in a limo. Hey, I got a better stadium or a better doghouse for this dog. Yeah, but I like my dog. Nah, I'm going to put him in a better. It's like, no, I want my dog back. You know, I can't think of it like girls. I'm like, my girlfriend scorned me. I can't think of, you know, a 350-pound, 6'7" offensive tackle as a girl. He scorned me. Donald Penn scorned me. I know. Some people do it like that. But to answer your question, I think there's going to be a lot of apathy. There are going to be a lot of bitter people. I'll always be a Raider fan. But I think, and I don't know because it hasn't happened yet. It's going to be a few years. I'll always be a fan, but I don't think I'll have the urgency that I once that I have now. Like for now, if I'm for some reason like on the streets and they're going to kick off in 10 minutes, I'm running red lights to get home. I got to see kickoff. Now I might be like, I'll get there when I get there. I don't know. I mean, I can't switch teams. I remember when Bud Selig wanted the A's to contract. And I actually asked Bud Selig about that. When Bud Selig was doing his little victory tour, his last, you know, and here he is with Lou Wolf, his frat brother from University of Wisconsin. Jerry Weinsdorf was in that frat too. And he kept saying, my mom warned me about this guy, pointing at Lou, a lot of jocularity. And I'm not one of these guys at press conferences that tries to be incendiary, but there were two things that always bugged me about Selig. One is, and it's on YouTube right now, is him talking about when the A's moved to the Bay Area, they quote-unquote ruined it for the Giants. So I said, you are quoted as saying that when the Giants moved here, the A's moved here, they ruined the Bay Area for the Giants. And that also the A's were on your short list for teams that would contract. So you can see why A's fans think that maybe the A's aren't one of your favorite teams. And he goes, that's absurd. I love Bobby Melvin. That was his answer. That's absurd. I love Bobby Melvin. Okay, great. And I'm not going to be like, do you want me to show you the video? I didn't say that. But yeah, that's the way it goes down sometimes. All right, Raider Pig, stay on the line. We'll go to you next. 888-957-9570. Rick Tittle, 95.7 again. All right, thank you for that. Wes, welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, taking your calls all over wherever you at and wherever you is. That's what had happened. Toll-free, 888-957-9570. It's the Raider Pig in Sacramento. What's up, Raider Pig?
Hey, Rick. Hey, I'm glad I can flip this call in at halftime of the game. I go back to watching the game, so this works out pretty sweet.
Let's do it.
Hey, so I wanted to respond to, I've heard you make this comment more than once about how you don't root against teams from San Francisco, even though you're an East Bay guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I'm just as qualified to comment on this as you would be, because, you know, I remember the Wayne Gross, Mickey Klutz platoon back in the late 70s, as well as you do. So I feel like I'm uniquely qualified as well to comment, because to me, the Raiders and the possibility of their moving to Las Vegas has as much to do as with the San Francisco Giants and that whole territorial rights thing as anything, because the A's would have been in San Jose 5-6 years ago if they had their opportunity, if it wasn't blocked by that so-called Blue Ribbon Committee. And the Raiders would be in the middle of building a new stadium on the Coliseum grounds. I mean, they had an agreement that was partly worked out anyways. I actually met Mark Davis, and he told me that he didn't like the fact that more of the percentage of the land was going to be allotted to the A's than the Raiders, one of the recent agreements. But to me, if anybody from the East Bay has anything but disgust and disdain for the San Francisco Giant organization, to me, they're not getting it, because they're as much at why the Raiders are at risk for moving here as any organization I can think of.
All right. Well, I understand what you're saying. To me, that's, you know, an indirect demon. But I say bless the Giants and bless those territorial rights. Otherwise, my A's would be in San Jose. So thank you very much, Walter Haas, who is still helping the A's even from the grave. Thank you, Walter Haas, for giving them the territorial rights. Thank you, Blue Ribbon Committee, for doing nothing for years, for being a fake. I look at it the exact opposite way you do. Bless the Giants, because without that, the A's would be in San Jose right now. I'm not going to blame them for the Raiders leaving. The Raiders have a perfectly good stadium. They're going to cry about how they're playing on dirt for a couple games a year. I don't want to hear it. Where is he? He hung up? Raider Pig hung up? Or did you hang up on him? Be honest. You don't know? You don't know. I had a good thing going with Raider Pig. All right, maybe Raider Gazelle or Raider Vole will call me up right now. Yeah, Rick, this is Raider Yeti calling you from the Himalayas. I hate the Giants. 1-888-957-9570, PenskeAutoSales.com, text line 95795. What I'm saying is, for those of you who maybe don't patronize me, darling, what I'm telling you, if you don't know, is that Walter Haas, the Haas family, they're a San Francisco family, okay? Levi's. You heard of Levi's?
Levi Damien?
No, Levi's. You heard of Levi's, right? 501, 513s. You know, gold miner pants? Denim? You know there's denim in our money? That's what keeps it from ripping? Oh, I'll rip a 10. No, you can. It just makes it a little bit tougher. When Charlie Finley was selling the A's, he tried to sell them to Toronto, and then he was going to sell them to Denver, to a guy named Marvin Davis. Marvin in Denver. Could it get more stupid and evil? And he thought it was important for the team to stay, so he saved them. And they end up having the highest payroll in baseball. They end up winning 3 straight pennants. In fact, Charlie Finley, who was ashamed of Oakland, never put Oakland on anything, always just said A's. Charlie Finley put it on all the uniforms, even the home uniforms. And that was in the early 80s when they wore the polyester V-neck pullovers, or I call them my Alfredo Griffin jersey. I got those. They'd wear white on Sundays, and they'd wear green at home, and they'd wear yellow on the road. And everything said Oakland. So the Haas family cared about the Bay Area. The Haas family is also proof that you can be filthy rich and still give away hella money and, wait for it, remain filthy rich. You can be... You can have, or look at, you know, guys like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg. They give away hella money, and they're not poor. You can still, it can be done. Look at all the play, not just, you know, Symphony Hall and some of the other big ones. Just like a little playgrounds and other things that the Haas family has done with their cash over the years. And so when Bob Lurie is like, look, I can't get a deal here in San Francisco. He had this dream that he was going to build a stadium where you could hit a home run into the water, and it just got crushed. So I was like, let me try Santa Clara County and the vote. $1 per household, crash. He says, look, before then it was shared. He said, you can have the rights. And so, obviously, new regimes come in, and then the A's are crying about it. It's got nothing to do with you guys, McGowan, Shorenstein, Nibby, Bear. And they say, tough. And all I can think of is, I don't understand A's fans who are mad at the Giants for blocking that. Unless you did want them to move, then obviously, I can understand that. But, oh my gosh. Walter Haas did everything he could to help Oakland, and I'm telling you, now even in perpetuity, in posterity, as I mentioned, from the grave, he is helping the A's stay in Oakland. And think about the irony of the one team that cried nonstop for a decade. Blah! Remember the letter Lou Wolf wrote the commissioner? We have exhausted every single possible place in Oakland to build a stadium, and we officially wash our hands of it. And the commissioner said, great. Do you remember that press conference they had in the swamp in Fremont? Was it Cisco Field? Oh, it's by 580? No. Oh, it's by 880? No. It's by BART? No. Where the hell is it? It's in a swamp. Oh, a big press conference. I saw the schematic. And I remember the announcement was, we'll either be called the San Jose A's, even though we'll still be in Alameda County, we're going to be called the San Jose A's, or we will be called the Silicon Valley A's of Fremont. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. That was one stadium. There were two stadiums in my lifetime that I knew for a fact would never be built. That one, as I mentioned, not near anything that could get you to it. No freeways, no BART. And then the other one is when the Warriors said, we're building a stadium under the Bay Bridge. We're going to build out into the Bay. I'm like, yeah, it'll never happen. This one is happening. Down by Pier 105. But one thing you can help, we got a caller saying he's blaming the Giants. If you want to blame the Giants indirectly, and I'm not into indirectly pointing and saying, well, if you hadn't got up and had a cup of coffee that morning, then the cab wouldn't have hit that goat on the road. I'm like, I don't want to stretch it that far back. But I used to work in broadcasting. I'd go to Townsend Street or other places near China Basin. It wasn't that great of an area. I went to the groundbreaking party for AT&T Park in the late 90s. It was a dilapidated warehouse, and they gave everybody these Giants hard hats, and they had, like, the cheese balls play. It was a big party. They put a home plate up on the roof, and then Sean Estes threw underhand to Barry Bonds, and he hit one in the water, and they go, that's what it's going to look like. And then I remember at Candlestick in right field, they had this thing, only 892 days until the stadium opens. And I thought, oh, that day is never going to come. Of course it did. But now you go past the Lefty O'Dell Bridge. That used to be like taking your life in their own hands. Now you go past the Lefty O'Dell Bridge. There's horsey shows and hospitals. All right, let's go to Oscar in Fairfield. What's up, Oscar?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I've been a Niner fan since the 70s, like 79. And you could say I'm an official Raider hater. Mm-hmm. However, I love the fact that we always had that fight with each other, like, the rivalry we had when we had our games against each other. And I don't have no hate towards Raider fans or anything. I just love the time we could chat with each other and make fun of each other. But the fact that they're leaving, from what it looks like, I really hate it when they left to L.A. because Oakland deserves their team, just like we deserved our team, when we were in San Francisco. It's just, I hate to see something that's football. That's always been football to me, was the Raiders being in Oakland. So I hate to, even as a Niner fan, I hate to see the Raiders leave.
All right, thanks.
I love that they're still here.
Yeah,
thanks
for the call, and I appreciate it. I remember when the Giants were moving to St. Pete, 92? And I remember telling my friends, no. And they go, what do you care? You're an A's fan. I go, because I want a two-team market. There was no interleague play then. I liked going to at least one or two National League games a year. I live in this area. I wanted to have as many teams as possible. But I knew people were like, I actually know two people who said, I don't care if they leave, and they're now Giants fans. Oh, there are a lot of fair weather people. And you know what? If the Giants sucked and the A's start winning, you know what they'd do? That's right. They would come right on back. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back, 95.7 again.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.